delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
I don't know, Ron. That sounds kind of crazy.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
All right, here we go. It's that time. Nooner, start off with a sad, sad story. Wildfire engulfed San Luis Rey Barns, killing approximately 25 racehorses. Clay, Dateline San Diego. Approximately 25 racehorses were killed when a wildfire engulfed about 8 barns at the training center in northeast San Diego County. The California Horse Racing Board said Friday horses that were in the surrounding pastures remain unaccounted for. Nearly 500 horses were stabled at San Luis Rey Downs Training Center in Bonzal when the fire erupted amid strong Santa Ana winds Thursday. Workers risked their lives to free as many horses from stalls as they could and herd them to safer areas. Horses worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, who are usually carefully walked from place to place, were simply set free and encouraged to run away from the flames as it engulfed the center, which is just a few miles from where the fire broke out. Mac McBride, we know him well, works with us for the Delgamar Credentials, was working with the trainers, and it was a total pandemonium when several hundred horses were just simply cut loose. That's sad.
And quoting from the LA Times, it went from 1 minute being, yeah, we're going to be okay, to, oh my God, what are we going to do? And that's trainer Doug O'Neill. And just to give you an idea how fast it goes, when a wind-driven fire descends on a 500-stall facility, it's got to be moving really fast, and there was just not enough time for anyone to react, because we were thinking, all right, so if you know there's a danger, these horses are insured very highly, they're very expensive, you do everything you can to move them out. They thought they were. They thought they had them in the safest possible spot. It just didn't work out, and this tragedy is just like a dark cloud over them right now. And of course, out of amid all the other devastation in Southern California right now, you have this to kind of like put in the back of your mind. Like, as the property goes up in flames, you forget about the animals that get in the
way. The animals are the key in terms of what people just completely forget about. Another trainer, Cliff Size, told KFMB TV that he saw 10 horses die, including his own filly. It was dark, there was too much smoke, everything was hot, and she wouldn't come out. I opened the pen and tried to get behind her and get her out. She wouldn't get out. She burned to death that quickly. So, you know, they're going to panic and run. Often they run towards the flames. They were trying to herd them to where they would run away from the flames. Another trainer, I have no idea how many are living and dead. I guess I'll find out in the morning. That's sad. I mean, there was that one Facebook is going all around now, been shared thousands and thousands of times, about a kid on the side. Have you seen this? The kid on the side of the highway. And the flames are just engulfing that side. And he's over there, and people are filming him like, what the hell is this guy doing? Well, you know, is he a lunatic? Is he one of those people running flames? And he reaches down in some bushes, and he pulls out a wild rabbit. And then you hear the person in the video go, my God, he's saving an animal. And the kid, he wouldn't be, and this was a TV station, and he refused to be interviewed. He goes, he didn't want to be interviewed. But he was out there trying to save as many animals as he could. Because the animals, you're right, the animals kind of get lost in the whole translation and the memories when these fires break out. I lived in California many years, went through a lot of fires, especially in North San Diego County. And that's the one really sad part. And look, losing homes and all that, it's tragic on many levels. But animals, they're always the last that people really even think about when it comes to how many really perish, especially the wild animals, the deer, the animals in those hills. I mean, those hills just go up in flames and no chance.
And the hills are basically left alone for them to do whatever they can. And, God, it's hard to believe. So on the horse side, though, Los Alamitos, it canceled its 8-race Friday card. They're going to allow race personnel to mourn, relocate the horses. They say that racing will resume tomorrow on Saturday, but it's now expected that Del Mar is going to morph into the training facility.
Oh, yeah, they'll bring them all to Del Mar.
Right, while San Luis Rey will repair and try to forget.
I'm Emma McDonald.
This is not a surprise. It's been going this way a long time. Ronda Rousey, her transition to pro wrestling and the WWE deal is being finalized. I don't think either of us are surprised at this. She was defeated by Amanda Nunes in under a minute in December 16 at UFC 207. Since then, there's been much talk of Rousey moving on from MMA and into career pro wrestling. She had an appearance at WrestleMania 31 back in 2015. It seemed like a natural move when her UFC career wrapped up. Early this year, the WWE decided to bring in the best female talent from around the world to compete in the Mae Young Classic. Rousey's four horsewoman stablemate and close friend, Shayna Baszler, also a former UFC fighter, was included in the tournament. This doesn't surprise you, does it? Here's the thing. We've seen her fight the last times. She never needs to be in the octagon again. She's never going to be what she was, and I think it's actually, I really don't want to see her get her ass kicked all the time. I mean, and I don't think anybody wants to see that. But I can see this as an easy transition. When she wants to be, she's very personable. She's very good looking. I think she could fit right into the WWE seamlessly. It seems like this is kind of, don't you think, all the way she was going the entire time as her real fighting career morphed into what we saw against Nunes, which is she's never going to be the same again?
I don't think she thought about this until after maybe the Nunes fight, but I mean, when she suffered that knockout in Australia, her face was totally beaten and battered. She couldn't bite into an apple for about 4 months. So I don't know what she ever thought that her life was ever going to be outside, because it looked like she had like a tremendous mental and psychological breakdown.
Yeah, I think it changed
after she lost.
Yeah.
So after she lost to Holly Holm, everything was on the table. And this seems like, all right, she's trying to figure out what can she do now, because the fire is gone to fight. Now, WWE is not an easy place to work. It's an obvious progression for her to continue to what? Stay in the limelight, continue to be a face on TV, and be kind of like that hated personality. And that might be able to help regenerate some interest in her to go and pursue UFC again, because that is probably where the best money is for her to continue to fight on that level. But this is going to give her a lot of exposure, and she's going to love it, because she's going to be treated like a queen. She'll be given tons of special treatment. She won't be like one of the typical wrestlers that have to go and like, all right, you're in Greensboro, South Carolina, and then we need you back in Orlando the next day. She's going to go on special cards each week, get to have her own dressing room, travel special, kind of like how Triple H has it, or if The Rock were to come back, he would have it special. So she won't be like everybody else. That's perfect for her, because she doesn't assimilate very well and play well with others.
You can see her fitting in, though, right? Got the look, got the attitude.
For a year at the most.
Okay.
I don't see this going on very, very long. She's slated to do WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans, which is April 8th. That's speculative. It's nothing on the dotted line. But, yeah, this is going to be like, I say by April 8th, five, 6 months from now, she'll be able to have this exposure, ride a bunch of wave, and then Dana White will be constantly being asked about this over and over again, to the point where he's like, all right, forget it. What do you want? We got to have you back, because you're probably our biggest star.
Giveaway.
There you go, dead giveaway. Well, the Dodgers have been mentioned as the inevitable fallback option for Miami Marlins slugger Giancarlo Stanton to St. Louis or San Francisco. They're not the only big market glamour team that intrigues the National League MVP. A source familiar with the Stanton trade talks said the Yankees are now among Stanton's preferred destinations, and he might be open to waiving the blanket no-trade clause to the Bronx. Dodgers are still in on it. Giants, two teams that are not in it that I want to ask you about, if you're surprised or not, because the Dodgers seem to continue to be with the Dodgers, I think, are throwing Puig out there. They have good farm system. I don't know if they'll give up the top few prospects, because their prospects are terrific, but they seem to be kind of the team everyone thinks it's going to end up being. Were you surprised that he said no to the Cardinals and the Giants? You know, the Cardinals, and here's the thing. He says, oh, I don't want to be in the Midwest. Well, I mean, his final list of teams, you know, include Midwest teams, and then he's in now the East with the Yankees. Were you surprised at the Giants and the Cardinals that he said no? I won't waive it.
The Cardinals might not be competitive right now, but they will be competitive. And it seems like he's going through like the teams that are good now, like the Astros and Cubs. They don't really need you right now. Why don't you go to a team that kind of like needs you and can build around you? But it doesn't sound like he wants to be like the only guy in town. He wants to be on a team with other players, and it sounds like, for once, he wants to win.
Well,
it's not about the money.
I don't know. I mean, this will be interesting, because for the first time, and let's be honest, forever, the Yankees are trying to be financially smart here. Hal Steinbrenner reiterated again this week, they want to be underneath the Major League Baseball $197 million luxury tax threshold. I've said many times, for a number of reasons, it's forced to get under it. It's absolutely a goal of mine to be under it. You can have a world championship caliber team and not have to spend $200 million. And I think we're finally getting to a point where that's coming true for us, because we've got a lot of good young players. That's saying we don't need this guy, right? In between the lines, you're taking on that contract. Now everyone's saying the Marlins going to have to eat some of that contract. The contract is one of these out of control ones. But if Steinbrenner continues to be quoted saying we're going to be under the $200 million threshold, how could they take his money on? Maybe he's throwing it out there like, you know, and by the way, the Yankees do have a lot of really good young talent.
Yeah. Why would they want to part with it? Because the young talent is successful. This
got
was
to the
year,
playoffs?
Yeah, this was the year where they were supposed to maybe like make 500 and everyone would be happy. Now, they did a lot more than that. Why would you want to go and mess with the chemistry now? Baseball, a very chemistry-oriented sport. And if you are owed $295 million through 2028, it's always going to be your team. And now you're taking the team away from the young players that, that built the Yankees in the last 1 to 2 years. This is not Aaron Judge's team now if you bring over Giancarlo.
The New York media, Marlins want to find common ground on a Stanton trade. They said one possibility is Jacoby Ellsbury owed $69 million through 2020. Like
total
Stanton,
stiff.
Ellsbury has a full no-trade protection. Another possibility, Chase Headley, who will make $13 million in 2018 in the final year of his deal. As Clay just said, while Stanton would bring an immediate bat to New York, the Yankees have no pressing need for an outfielder. Aaron Judge hit 52 second and finished second to Altuve in the AL MVP race. Gardner coming off one of his best career seasons, and center fielder Aaron Hicks logged an 847 OPS in 88 games and only makes 1.75. So maybe that's what Steinbrenner's saying. It's like, hey, we don't really need you. We're okay. Yeah, we have to battle the Astros, who are also good and young and talented. But, you know, I mean, you get into a series, maybe your pitching improves, maybe you're different this time. This will be interesting. I told you, yeah. I told my buddies who are Dodger fans also. Look, if they get him, I'll probably be happy for a second. But I want to see what they got to give up. I'm just not. 10 years ago, I said, get him. Now I'm like, you know what? They got to the World Series. I don't know if you need Stanton. I don't. And that contract, they better eat a lot of that freaking contract if they're asking them to take him on. That's a lot of money.
It's now looking more apparent that the Marlins aren't going to be able to move this kid. Because,
yeah, not everyone's lining up, by the way.
No, and we all know Derek Jeter's doing his best to try to shop him, and he definitely needs to get back into the black, but they're in a lot of trouble. There's nobody that really this fits for because he's too expensive. But you're going to start seeing him hit home runs in April for Miami, and it's going for naught. That's going to eat away at some teams that need to make this move. And I bet there's a few general managers that need to find this kind of spark in order to keep their job alive.
When we come back, Jay Cornegay, he's going to tell us, are the books this much in trouble if the Knights make the playoffs?
That's the sound Cosmic.
Watch out for the accidents on your surface streets. Hit and run, Bonanza at Nellis. We also have an injury crash on Rainbow at Vegas Drive, as well as Decatur at Lake Mead. And we're down to one lane on Boulder Highway northbound, approaching Russell Road. Traffic has been brought to you by the Rhodes Ranch Golf Club.
Rhodes Ranch Golf Club has great offers this winter for every golfer at any level. Not only the best players club golf program, but also great trivia night. Sundays are for brunch and football, and the best conditions in town. Call 702-740-4114.
Good Friday, Las Vegas. Frank Harness checking in with you once again. And Friday means we're getting ready for another weekend of big football action. And, of course, the NFL is king. And on Sunday, there's a lot of matchups. Which one do you play? Well, get the right information, play the right game, and cash that ticket. For that, we call our friends at Gordon Howard Global, 888-566-7878. Joining us once again, our good friend, Mr. Steve Berry. Steve, I know you guys are having a good season, and you plan on continuing that this weekend.
Yeah, we're having an excellent season. We're coming off a very strong weekend last weekend. We are keying on one of the NFL games on Sunday, and what we're going to do is something different. Tonight, on Friday, we will release the winner of Philadelphia and the L.A. Rams on Sunday, so you can move on the game before the line moves. Right now, Rams laying 2.5. The total's 48. Philadelphia coming in at 10-2. The Rams at 9-3. The Eagles are trying to bounce back this week after having that 9-game winning streak snapped by Seattle on Sunday night, 24-10. That was a very disappointing game for Philadelphia, but I think Seattle just played out of their boots. What we're going to do is release the winner tonight. If you give us a call at 1-888-566-7878, we have information that makes this game one-sided. Anybody can handicap the games, but not everyone has access to the information we do. Make the call. Find out for yourself at no charge. There is no risk involved. The only way you're going to find out how strong our information is on this particular NFL game is by making the call, obviously. It's 1-888-566-7878. There's no charge. The call is free.
And, you know, Steve, the important thing about this is everybody wants to play every game, but the bottom line is you want to play the games that you can cash the ticket on. That's why you're selective. That's why you take the ones that you guys have the information on. And by getting it on Friday now, you can get it at the best of the number.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. We're very particular about what we release. We do have information on Philadelphia and the L.A. Rams. We know the Eagles are 10-2. They can clinch the NFC East title with one more win, but they do trail 10-2 Minnesota by the tiebreaker for the best record in the NFC. The Rams are 2-0 straight up and against the spread since losing to the Vikings following their 32-16 victory at Arizona last week. These are two teams that are primed, that are playing very, very well, both aiming for the playoffs. We know who's going to win and why. In a game like this game on Sunday, the only way to win is with information. We have it. We'll share it with everyone at no charge. Do not make a move tonight without calling us first at 1-888-566-7878. We are in the midst of an excellent season in college and pro, but we are keying in on this Philadelphia Rams matchup on the weekend. Make the call. We'll tell you the winning move. We'll tell you why it's going to be the winning move. It's a no-lose situation. It's a free call. It's a free winner. It's 1-888-566-7878.
This fall, get in the game and earn cash for betting sports with William Hill on your phone or tablet. During William Hill's Fall Rewards, earn up to $100 cash with the mobile sports app. Between now and December 31st, you'll be eligible for cash back points with every wager made, win or lose, on the mobile sports app. You'll also earn bonus cash back for teasers and parlay card wagers made on the app. To enroll in Fall Rewards, visit williamhill.us. That's williamhill.us. William Hill, the home of betting.
Do judges prefer mothers? Can your wife change the locks on the house? Will an affair hurt your divorce? Hi, I'm divorce attorney Stacey Rochelieu with Wright Lawyers. If you're going through a divorce, then you have questions. For over 15 years, our office has provided the right answers. At Wright Lawyers, we charge a fixed fee, not an hourly rate. We give you a price, and that's what you pay. Wrong marriage? Contact Wright Lawyers. Download our divorce guide at WrightLawyers.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-925-5048 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable.
Operators are waiting at 800-925-5048 to take your call now. Call 800-925-5048. That's 800-925-5048. Again, 800-925-5048.
If your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, think about this. Studies show that people that don't get enough sleep tend to have bigger appetites. But if you sleep better, you'll eat less. I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress. We can help you sleep better with the Best Mattress Holiday Sale. Buy a Tempur-Pedic mattress and get another qualified mattress free. And 72 months no interest. The Holiday Sale at Best Mattress, home of the 120-day guarantee. Sleep easy, friends.
Vegas is now a hockey town. Don't miss college hockey at T-Mobile Arena when the puck drops for the Ice Vegas Invitational on January 5th and 6th. Boston College battles Michigan Tech, and Arizona State faces Northern Michigan in the opening round on Friday night. Tickets are on sale now at TMobileArena.com. It's college hockey action at the Ice Vegas Invitational January 5th and 6th at T-Mobile Arena. Get your tickets now.
Hey, it's Clay Baker of the Press Box. Football season is back, and so is our free weekly football contest. Every Friday at 1:30, we will give you a chance to win $100 just by picking a couple of winners. Listen for your chance to win our weekend bankroll, sponsored by Dollar Loan Center, offering signature loans up to $5,000. Stop by one of their 31 Las Vegas locations.
If your vehicle is due for an oil change, you need to get into Busy Boots Automotive. Now open at the corner of West Flamingo and Durango, Busy Boots provides many of its services for free. Free diagnosis, free towing, free shuttle service, plus free Wi-Fi and refreshments. And talk about convenience. No appointment needed. Open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. First-time customers get 25% off up to $25. Visit Hamid at his new location, Busy Boots Automotive, on West Flamingo at Durango, and online at busyboots.com.
This is Patrick Smith, president of the UNLV Alumni Association. Being a Rebel is an honor and hard-earned privilege, one that alumni share. Your UNLV Alumni Association represents all alumni and promotes ways for alumni to help alumni. We proudly welcome the class of 2017 to the UNLV alumni family. Learn how you can get involved at unlvalumni.org. That's unlvalumni.org. Go Rebels!
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Each and every Friday, rolling along here on the Press Box, we are joined by Jay Cornegay, Vice President of Race and Sports at the Westgate Superbook. How are you, my friend?
Hey, guys.
Jay?
Good to hear from you, Jay. And first question I want to throw out at you. We're wondering what with like a third of the NHL regular season going on, is there any sort of liability that you're starting to have meetings over with people putting money on the Vegas Golden Knights going to the playoffs?
Well, we're not having meetings, but, you know, updating my resume, you know, that's all. I mean, it's not a meeting.
Yeah, it's just some quiet time alone after work. That's fine. All right,
that's
good.
All. You know, a little, you know, beads of sweat, you know, I'm not getting any sleep, you know.
Yeah, but you're refusing to go to games when people ask you, hey, I got free tickets right on the ice, forget it.
And I keep rooting. I'm rooting for him. Don't get me wrong. I've been going to a good handful of the games. I have split season tickets. I'm rooting for the Knights. I know it. I'm like keeping an eye on that. And, you know, we got a long way to go, and we have ways to kind of balance that out. So it's not a hard punch. I mean, for us to get out of the hole, if they were to win the whole thing, if they were to win the Stanley Cup, that's where the big punch would come.
Okay.
But we've got a long way to go. We can knock that down to something that we can swallow.
Hey,
I think
you know,
people said playoffs, not win at all.
Okay.
Oh, playoffs, we're okay. Division, we get I would say losing, or if they were to win the division, which I have no problem with, it would be like losing a major. Oh, I'd say a good NFL playoff game.
Okay.
Survivable. But if they win the cup, the lights are going to dim a little bit, and I'm going to have to raise the prices of our grilled cheese sandwiches.
No, because the breakfast sandwiches at Football Central is what I live for, my friend. Each and every Sunday, Football Central, going down there, the smoke-free environment in the showroom, all the games are up. You just clear a path for me to get my breakfast sandwiches, and I'm back on Main Street, baby, because Saturday night gets a little bleary after the Rebel-Illinois game. Where's the money coming in on NFL Sunday, Jay? Well, what do you have your eyes on?
Oh, there's a few games. Hold on just one second. And we were talking about that earlier. And, with the baseball signing and all that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting. I don't know. Yeah, we changed so many games or teams on the World Series. It was, more than we can discuss right now.
Sure, and as the Ohtani sweepstakes had you kind of looking for the Giants and other teams, and but the Angels were kind of a surprise, and maybe that's the right play for them. I have a feeling because their pitching is so terrible that Ohtani's going to have to be on the rotation.
Yeah, he to make a huge difference, yes. I think that, I know a lot of people are going to play them. I know that there's a possibility that the Angels are going to be a very aggressive in the off season. This is just the beginning. So basically the Angels odds went from 50 down to 30. And it's a big number, but we can expect some Angel money. So we'll have to see. I think this is the first one, and there's going to be plenty of shifting over the next couple of months.
I want to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders. Getting 4 in Kansas City. Have you seen it move at all? I see 4.5. You might have 4.5 up. Anything on this game that interests you?
Well, the Chiefs, continue to trying to figure out the Chiefs is just really a mystery here. We opened 6 on this game. We're currently 4.5. So, the market dropped on them. You got to think that. You keep thinking that the Chiefs are going to come around. This is the game. At home against the Bills, you think that they can turn it around then, but they didn't. A couple weeks ago when we had the Chiefs 6, we got a little bit of Oakland money, but their poor play continues, and that's the reason why you have a drop in price. In fact, most of the town is 4. We're still 4.5.
Jay Cornegay here with us, Vice President, Race and Sports at the Westgate Superbook. Make sure you get down there this Sunday for all the action inside Football Central. It's free to get in, smoke-free environment. Fantastic. They got all the games in the showroom and great food and drink specials. Think about how some situations go when you have certain scenarios and people in this industry refer to it as a game where pros are versus Joes. And you have a game in which the Eagles are at the Rams on Sunday afternoon. This game started out, rolled out as the Eagles as a pick 'em, and now the Rams are favored. Is that one of those scenarios where you would say, all right, this is a pros versus Joes situation where based on where the money's coming in?
Well, we opened this game like 2 weeks ago at Eagles minus three.
Hello.
Boo.
Yeah, and now you're looking at Rams one. I mean, at the beginning of this week, I think they were 2.5. It dropped down dramatically after the Eagles lost and you know, pick. But from that point, we've seen plenty of Rams money. And I'm not saying everybody's jumping off this Philly wagon yet because it was just one game, but you know what the public sees. You know, they see last Sunday. They see last weekend, and that's what they're going to be basing it on. As far as their play, though, I'm going to say that one's relatively split. There's been some other movement. We're talking about some other moves for this weekend's schedule. Carolina, Minnesota is a big move. You know, we had Carolina the favorite. Now we got Minnesota the favorite at 2.5. So I think we opened Carolina 2, and now it's up to Minnesota 2.5,
wow,
minus $1.20. So borderline 3 there. As I look around the market, you can see the Vikings at 3, even money at a few places. So we continue to get some movement on the Vikings.
Did you have as big a jump as I'm seeing on, and this is this because now Eli's starting again with Dallas and the Giants?
I'm not sure if it's just because of Eli or it's just the whole scenario of them kind of circling the wagon.
Right, rallying.
You know, and behind Eli.
Right.
Because he's been awful.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, Geno Smith to Eli this season wouldn't be a huge difference. But I think that if there's going to be a game that the Giants are really going to be up for and play you know, based on heart and pride, is it would be this game. Now, this is a game that we open the Cowboys at 6.5. It's all the way down to 3.5 now as the Sharps are taking the Giants. I can't expect it to go any lower than that because I still see some fours around town, but I think it's more of a rallying call around the Giants, and that's why you're seeing some money on New York.
We're just like 9-10 years removed from when the Detroit Lions went winless, 0-16 in the season, and the prevailing thought was in the last quadrant of the season, last four games, that you just start betting against Detroit. There's no reason to think that heart or pride are going to come in and they're going to close the gap. That doesn't seem to be the case for the hapless 0-12 Cleveland Browns, who is getting money. Like, each week there seems to be a swell of support, like, this is the week! Cleveland's not only going to cover, but they're going to win. And we saw this line for Green Bay at Cleveland. Packers were 6-point favorites. Now it's down to 3. What is going on?
Well, it's like you're a mind reader because, or you have my phone bugged or something because that's exactly what I said. I keep saying that. I go, I think the Browns could win this week, and I know that the Sharps finally cashed in on the Browns last week. But I do expect the Browns to play a decent game. Well, if you look at the Browns, again, they for a most part of these games, they're pretty competitive. They're right in these games, and then they do the Browns thing, and, you know, they don't cover. You know, it's like, oh, it's a 7-point game, 3-point game, here's a game they're getting 13. Final score, they lose by 16. and they do that week in, week out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game that we opened to Packers 6, and now we're all the way down to the Packers minus 3, minus 20. I do see some minus 3.5 out there, even money on the Packers, but there, again, some bigger money has been bet on the Browns this week, and I expect that to continue, especially if on those 3.5. The public will come in and bet the Packers, not like they would otherwise with, you know, Rodgers back there, but I do expect them to bet against the Browns. Maybe not with both hands, but they'll be playing Green Bay.
People gone crazy in the bowl games yet?
Not really.
Really?
There's been some sharp movement,
right,
you know, here and there, and it's sporadic. All of a sudden you have some guys that will come in and you'll see some lines move based off, you know, whatever opinion they have. You know, these bowl games can move dramatically. In a period of a day or a couple of days, you can see some pretty big movement, and you'll look back at some of these lines when it's game time and go, oh my gosh, it was 15, now it's 19.
Wow.
Yeah, and you'll see that, which is very typical of the bowl games. But we're not too concerned about it because we win some or we lose some. I mean, we keep track of it. I mean, the main thing you want to do is keep track of any type of injury or suspensions that usually happen this time of year. So you got to keep your ear to the ground and make sure you have the latest updated news on these teams.
Well, at least the Golden Knights aren't in a bowl, so, you know, you have that going for you. At least not yet. I mean, they're playing so well, and that Twitter handle they have over there might just put them in a bowl, and they might be able to play in one. Then you'd all be afraid.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, I have mixed emotions about the Knights, but for the most part, I'm rooting for them. Yeah. You know, I need to balance out a little bit more so I don't wake up in the middle of the night, but it's a fun story. And they're really entertaining. A lot of people just don't. Hey, this is a very fun team to watch. Whether they're at home or on the road, they play a open style, which makes it a lot more exciting.
Yeah, until we see you at the finals with a Tampa Bay sweater on at T-Mobile Arena in the finals when Tampa Bay's here for the Stanley Cup Finals. You'll be rooting for Tampa Bay like a lunatic.
No, I won't. I will not. I'll be rooting for the home team. They are a pretty big dog tonight. Now, Nashville, yes, is the leaders of the other division, so division leaders at home. You got the Preds at -160. Yeah. In a total of 6/15, and that's a 5 o'clock start tonight.
Rumor is Flowers back against Dallas tomorrow night.
Possibly.
That would be good for them.
I think so. I think that could happen. I think this is a, it's not a bad spot for Vegas, to tell you the truth. They're very well rested, so we'll have to see.
Jay, we appreciate your time. We thank you so much. We'll hear you on the radio 8 to 9 on Sunday morning, and I'll see you Football Central, my friend.
Thanks, Jay.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you, Jay. Jay Cornegay, Vice President of Race
and
Sports.
Boy, he raises those breakfast sandwiches. You can't go back there.
I'm going to have to, like, return some bottles and cans to get a little scratch money.
So that many people took their shot at the Golden Knights, huh? The playoffs, the Stanley. Well, I mean, you know, no value. I mean, you know, value no, in that.
Yeah, nothing
if
to lose.
If miracles happen, nothing to lose. You put a little change on it.
Maybe like beginning of the year, it's like 100 to 1, 150 to 1.
We'll have to go back and ask. But it was, I mean, not come on, just to make the playoffs. Never mind the cup.
Well, when they went on like that first like 10 games, it went from 100 to 1 down to like 40 to 1, and then it's now that would like reach around 25 to 1, which is impossible to imagine.
Greenspan would grab them now, man. She thinks they're going to the cup. I get those texts every once in a while. I said they're not playing well tonight. Don't be negative. They're going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, what? What are you out of your mind? She's crazy about this team. Tonight. First of all, it's Friday. I'd never go out. You know, I don't want to go out anywhere.
Get home early so we can watch the game.
Yes, get home, go to the gym, do the run, get the garage door down, and then we'll watch the game. I actually am excited about that because that means I don't have to be out anywhere. I mean, I can just be inside the house locked in, and the game's on.
How about you guys go down to the City National Arena and get a Bill slice?
Well, we've done that. See, the one time we actually ventured out and she goes, oh, my God, you're going out with me, we went to the City National to the restaurant when the Knights were on the road.
Yeah.
Where there was Steve Karp. Dave Shane was on the road with the team, so Steve Karp was in town, a bunch of friends, and that's the night the game. We're 2 minutes in the game. We get the call from the daughter at home. Someone broke in the house. So good luck to the Bill slice. I took mine and got out of there. Greenspan's pizza wasn't done. Karp had to bring it over later after the cops left the house.
No, she was like out there like it was like a puff of smoke.
Imagine that if she thought someone got in the safe. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I know. And how depressing it is for the burglar because he's like, this place has nothing.
No chance. You imagine walking around that house?
Yeah, there's a Hoosiers poster in the garage. I don't want this.
No chance. She's got everything battened down. When we come back, high school sports. Justin Emerson, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Big meeting yesterday when it comes of the 5A, and who will compete for the state title at the largest division.
Sports and traffic every 30 minutes.
Sports update brought to you by the Mega Las Vegas Golf and Tennis Holiday Tent Sale. The Los Angeles Angels keep that hot stove burning in the wintertime, and they're looking to add the big free agent teams have been coveting. Today, the Angels land the big fish. They sign Japanese pitcher and outfielder Shohei Ohtani, the 23-year-old phenom, a .500 slugging percentage, and can throw over 100 miles an hour, including other secondary pitches. He is now a Halo. UNLV runner Rebels at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. NFR is in town tomorrow night. They'll be at the MGM. They face Illinois. Get your tickets running Rebels on the Strip. You can hear it all on ESPN Radio tomorrow night, Saturday at 9 p.m. The sports update brought to you by The Holiday Las Vegas Golf and Tennis Tent Sale, it's on. It features shockingly low prices. Spend $99 or more, get a free foursome of golf. Visit lvgolf.com or call 892-9999 for info.
You're back in the press box with Clay Baker and Ed Graney. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas and call the show 702-364-1100.
All right, back at it. Don't forget, 1 o'clock, Scott Bilo, all your college football news. And 1:30, Brad Underwood, head basketball coach at Illinois. They're in town to play the Rebels tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, so that'll be cool to get Coach Underwood, one of the best in the business. And at 1:45, come on! Dollar Loan Center, $500 on the line. Beat Clay and I for once. Christ, will someone show up and have some picks that can beat us in this thing? $500 on the line. Step up, for Christ's sake.
$500 for the Christmas presents for the girls and boys. Yourself.
Or yourself.
Somebody stand up and do this. We'll do it. Caller 20. Ties lose. Got
to
beat us.
Darn right. All right, here we go. Out to the phone lines, the Finley Kia hotline at the Finley Toyota Studios. I'm giving sponsors that don't exist. Justin Emerson, follow him on Twitter at J15 Emerson, Las Vegas Review Journal. Glad to have you on.
Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Oh, yeah, it's good. Good
Thanks
to have
for
you
having
on.
Me on. Every time I've been on the show before, you were in Mexico, you were on vacation, whatever. So it's nice to actually be on your show with you here.
This is somewhat on purpose as well. So let's go over yesterday the meeting. This, you know, it kind of seeped out as news in the last several weeks that the Northern Nevada had kind of made a decision via a vote that when this realignment stuff came up, they had wanted to choose to stay in 4A. They did not want to go to the 5A. Many people obviously interpreted that as, we don't want to lose to Gorman anymore in the state finals of football, so keep us in 4A, and we're not going to continue to get our brains beaten in. Long and short of it, what happened at this meeting, and was that the gist of it in the terms of the feelings of what the North wanted?
Well, the North had kind of made their decision a while ago, so this particular meeting didn't have a lot to do with them. They did, you know, ask the Northern representative that was there, you guys sure you want to stay in 4A? And they said, yeah, that they were sure. So it was just kind of divvying out who was going to go to 5A among the Southern schools. So the biggest classification now for high school football is 5A, and that will be a Southern-only league. So a state championship will be determined among the 12 teams that are in 5A now, whereas the 4A teams will be playing teams in the North for a state championship.
What were your thoughts about it? We had Rich Morocco on earlier this week. I thought he was very classy about it. I think he thought it was disappointing, but at the end of the day, you know, make up your mind what you think is best for your specific school. And I do think way too many people get caught up in this, which really have nothing to do with it. I don't know if anyone beyond the specific schools that wins cares. I mean, you know, I mean, and we saw Kenny Sanchez's quotes, which I thought were laughable about being cowards. I mean, I half expected him to say, let's get behind the school at the soda shop afterwards for a brawl or something. I mean, it was so laughable to go out there and say that about the North. Because, again, at the end of the day, if that's what they think is best for them and they want to do that, I don't know why so many people, you know, bow their back and say, you know, to heck with you people. I understand it's disappointing. You won't have the entire state in the large division. But, you know, I sort of get what they're saying here.
Oh, and I kind of do, too. I mean, it would be cool just from, the aspect of it that, you know, the state is obviously much more than just the Las Vegas area. So if you're playing a state championship, it would be nice to include the entire state. But at the same time, the enrollment numbers are completely different. And, you know, I was looking at it, and they passed out the numbers yesterday, and I was kind of surprised at how big of a differential it is. But Spanish Springs up in the North is the biggest school in 4A North, and they're the 25th biggest school in Nevada.
26th?
So, I mean, just 25.
25th. So there's 24 schools in the South bigger than the biggest school in the North?
Yeah, SECTA is a 3A school, and, well, it'll be moving up to 4A with the new realignment, but it's bigger than Spanish Springs by the realignment, or by the numbers that they count. So that's how big the enrollment differences are between the North and the South. So by that aspect, I get it, but then from a competitive standpoint, not as much, because if you take Gorman out, the non-Gorman state semifinal games have been so good. Liberty beat DeMonte Ranch, last year in a semifinal by one possession. They had lost to Reed a couple of years before that, so the games have been really good when North plays the South and, you know, Bishop Gorman isn't involved.
Yeah, so they're obviously assuming that what most people assume, maybe not nationally, I think they're losing some key kids. This year they dropped national type of games. I assume they are thinking, maybe not nationally, but locally at least for the foreseeable future, no one's beating these people.
Beating Gorman?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's that's part of it too. And Liberty has always kind of been out in the front of, you know, we want to play Gorman. We think eventually we're going to be able to beat them. And I mean, who knows? Gorman's losing a lot of seniors this year, but I mean, they lost a lot of seniors last year and the year before that, and the 6-7 years before that too. So it hasn't seemed to matter when it comes to that program.
Justin Emerson, Las Vegas Review Journal at J15 Emerson, E-M-E-R-S-O-N. Follow him on Twitter. So, you know, the other thing I think comes from this, and I think the North understands this, there will be good teams in the 4A. I mean, they're not just going to roll over people. I agree with you. I think they just think this is a Gorman issue, and, you know, they understand that the 4A in the South will bring up really good teams, and they'll have to compete and play hard to win any kind of state title.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting on that, because 5A did take most of the 4A football talent from the South. I mean, if you look at it, the best teams... one that's really intriguing to me, though, moving up from Class 3A into 4A is going to be Desert Pines, and they've won 2 3A state championships. A lot of people think they can compete with anybody in the 4A, so now they're going to get that opportunity. Palo Verde's in the 4A. They've been down for a little bit the last few years, but, you know, historically a very strong program. Shadow Ridge hasn't made the playoffs, but, they play in a really tough league. So there's definitely some talent left over in 4A, but, you know, going to 5A is, you know, Bishop Gorman, obviously, Liberty, but also Arborview and Green Valley and Faith Lutheran and Foothill that have been the strongest in the South for, you know, the last couple of years.
Talk about the move of Centennial and Coronado to essentially volunteer to go to 5A.
It was a nice, refreshing kind of voice of reason to it, because they did it off of what they called rubric points, and they assigned these points based on how teams finished in the postseason. You get X amount of points for winning a state title or making the playoffs or whatever. I won't get into the details, but Centennial and Coronado had missed the playoffs for the last 2 years, so they had zero rubric points, so they weren't even really under consideration to move to 5A for football. Well, Centennial's principal said, you know what, if you just look at it, we're such a big school, we compete in everything. If, you know, he called it the eye test, and he said, you know, Centennial should be a 5A team. And Coronado kind of said the same thing. They're like, look, if we're going to be making a 5A that's supposed to be this best of the best division, I feel like you got to take the biggest schools, and Coronado's the biggest school in Nevada. So it made sense for them to go. Centennial has been good. They haven't, you know, the last couple of years, but, I mean, it just made a lot of sense. So when it comes down to, you know, getting bogged down into the details and all the policies and procedures and everything that the NIAA has, it was nice that it was just kind of common sense. You know, Centennial and Coronado feel like 5A teams, and they're going to be 5A teams.
We're talking about the dramatic realignment that's taking place in for Nevada prep schools with Justin Emerson, Review Journal. Talk about the other teams, though, that they wanted to, like, even certain teams that had once been a power, like Cimarron Memorial, they want to, like, play down a level to help kind of build a program. What are scenarios like that for certain schools, including Rancho, who's kind of done several different realignments based on their sports?
Rancho is an interesting case, because they're actually, and I found this out yesterday, the third biggest school in Nevada by enrollment, so you would think that they'd be stronger, but, you know, magnet programs in the area have kind of taken some of Rancho's talent, but yeah. Rancho's going to move down. They were 4A team the last 2 years and have not won a game, so they're going to drop down to 3A, and Valley and El Dorado, who accumulated these rubric points based on being in a 5-team Northeast League, all they had to do was essentially win one league game to make the playoffs, and they were able to beat Rancho. So Valley and El Dorado both felt that they should have dropped, but basically they needed two other teams to jump up from 3A into 4A. Valley and El Dorado were going to drop down, and they couldn't find those.
Okay.
Chaparral and Mojave had kind of gotten nudged, saying, hey, you guys should go 4A, but Chaparral representative that was there said that he didn't want his school to do that, and so it just kind of didn't work out. I think, honestly, it's good for a school like Rancho to try to rebuild the program when it's tough to, you know, get kids in your own school to want to come out for a football program when you know you haven't won in 2 years. I mean, who wants to go out and lose by 40 every game kind of thing? So, you know, you drop a division, you play some schools with lesser enrollment or without as strong football programs, maybe you can get back on the winning track.
The Rancho thing, as you mentioned, is interesting to me. They're kind of falling on the sword, saying, look, yeah, we're pretty good at softball and baseball, but these other sports, I mean, I that's a tough one. You know, usually, I think, again, I'd adhere to what an administration believes is best for their school. I know eventually you have to get to 3A, 2A, 4A, 5A. I know eventually you have to fill your slots. But I think if people are coming and saying, look, our metrics here are in baseball and softball. We go to these other sports. You better be careful here putting our kids, whether it be in harm's way or at a division they shouldn't be in. Did you find a lot of that at this meeting, that these, you know, people were maybe not trying to get away with anything and play down, but there was a legitimate concern that should we be in a higher level football-wise? Because I think everyone pretty much understands that's the sport everyone really follows, and that's the sport where, you know, you can get into some dangerous situations if you're out of your element.
Right, and they did realign differently for football and the other sports, which I thought was a good idea. So
right.
Oddly enough, in a weird quirk, Rancho is going to move down to 3A for football, but actually move up to 5A for everything else.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
For football, there wasn't a whole lot of schools. There was nobody there who felt like they shouldn't be in 5A. Everyone that was, all the representatives that were there for the 5A football schools kind of believe that. Silverado was one school that is going to be 4A for football, but is moving up to 5A in everything else, and the principal there said, well, you know, we got all these points, Rubric points, 2 years ago from our track and field team, and those seniors have graduated, and, you know, from volleyball, and we're about to lose a lot of seniors, so, and pointed out that the school doesn't really, just geographically is weird, that it's landlocked by other schools in the zones, and it doesn't have much room for growth, so Silverado is a school that's kind of upset at its being moved up to 5A for the other sports, but for football, it seems like everyone that moved up to 5A seemed to either be okay with it or understand why they were doing it or excited about it.
So what happened yesterday when the officials from up north, they were there, it got contentious and there was a lot of going back and forth. How did that all play out, and describe the situation where there was a point in which it was just like, forget the open forum, stop talking?
Yeah, that was weird, because the 3A representative for the north, he was pretty intent on the fact that he wanted the 3A North and the 3A South to be equal representation, and it ended up not working out that way. But, you know, there was a lot of argument back and forth, and I'll tell you, it took about an hour to determine how many schools were going to be in 3A South, and then they decided on it and then moved on to something else and said, well, maybe let's figure out how many are going to be in 5A and then 4A and then the leftovers are going to be in 3A. So it was, you know, it was a nice long discussion. What was the other part of your question? I'm sorry.
At what point did they decide, all right, no more open
forum?
We're tired of people talking, and we got to get this done.
Like, so they did that, which I thought was a little weird, and they said that they were going to cut off public comment. They did say that it was because the people from the north that flew in, the NIAA officials, they had a flight to catch that afternoon.
Come on, Southwest flies up until midnight.
Hey, you weren't at the meeting the whole time. I was okay that they cut it short.
Southwest Airlines, take your midnight flight out.
So they were able to determine which schools are going to be in which class, but they weren't able to determine how those leagues are going to be set up, if they're going to do a traditional east-west sunset region, sunset-sunrise region, or if they might do it north-south, if they use Sahara or Flamingo perhaps as kind of a dividing line. But they haven't figured that all out, so I get to go back and sit in that meeting next Friday, too.
Beautiful.
Read his complete account on the football 5A, 4A, the North and South, in today's Review Journal. Follow him at J15 Emerson on Twitter. Also follow at Nevada Preps. Best in the state Nevada Preps coverage from your Review Journal. Justin, thanks very much. It's great having you on the show, and I'm actually here.
Nice to talk to you.
You know, you're an ASU fan. How's that Herm Edwards hire going to go?
No, come on. We were having a good talk.
All right, the CEO. We'll see you later. CEO of ASU football. Complete lunacy.
Thanks,
when
Justin.
We come back,
appreciate it, man.
364-1100. Do you have a quick comment for us on this 4A, 5A? Do you care what the North says? Does anybody care that the North doesn't want to play Gorman anymore? Do you really care? Bug on the windshield. Give us a call, 364-1100. Give us your thoughts.
That's the sound cosmic.
Watch out for the serious accident on 15 northbound. It's off to the right shoulder now at Charleston. We also have an off-to-the-right shoulder crash on 215 eastbound near I-15, as well as Rainbow at Russell Road.
Monday, starting at 5, Umami Burger at SLS Hotel Casino has your game day food and drink specials for Monday Night Football. Plus, there's always free parking at the SLS. So come out Monday night at 5 at Umami Burger at SLS Hotel Casino and William Hill.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-925-5048 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable.
Operators are waiting at 800-925-5048 to take your call now. Call 800-925-5048. That's 800-925-5048. Again, 800-925-5048.
Runnin' Rebel fans, don't miss UNLV basketball live at the MGM Grand this December as your Runnin' Rebels take on Oral Roberts Tuesday, December the 5th, and then Rebels will be back in action against Illinois December the 9th for the annual game benefiting Coaches versus Cancer. It's your Runnin' Rebels live at the MGM Grand on December 5th and 9th. Get your tickets at mgmgrand.com. Brought to you by Finley Toyota, Summerlin, and Comprehensive Cancer Centers of Nevada.
Hey, it's Clay Baker of the Press Box. Football season is back, and so is our free weekly football contest. Every Friday at 1:30, we will give you a chance to win $100 just by picking a couple of winners. Listen for your chance to win our weekend bankroll, sponsored by Dollar Loan Center, offering signature loans up to $5,000. Stop by one of their 31 Las Vegas locations.
Whiff, I can't believe the holidays are here.
I know, and we're going to sell so many bright crystal hearts on fire and memoir diamonds.
Well, of course we are. But let's do something different this year, something special.
What are you thinking about?
Well, everyone knows MJ has something for everyone, and this year I want to share that message by having an incredible holiday sale.
What about this? 30 to 70% off on select items throughout the store through December 31st.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
MJ's holiday sale is on now. MJ Christensen, something for everyone this holiday season. Located in Boca Park.
Want to reward yourself with some awesomeness? Do all your shopping at the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army has incredible savings on everything you need, from clothing to housewares to furniture. Plus, Monday is the best day to save with their color tag sale, where select color tags are only 99 cents. That's right, only 99 cents for a wide variety of items. All the proceeds go to help those recovering from substance abuse in their adult rehabilitation center. To donate or find locations, click on lasvegas.satruck.org. Salvation Army, doing the most good.
Las Vegas Golf and Tennis Holiday Tent Sale prices are shockingly low! $125 gift cards for $100, personalized dozen Pro V1s, $39.95, Wilson Golf Sets, $188. Epic deals are everywhere! Info, lvgolf.com or 892-9999.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Scott Bylow, College Football at 1, Brad Underwood, Head Basketball Coach, Illinois 130. Weekend bankroll, Dollar Loan Center, $500 on the line, $145. It'll go quick, but we will get three people, and you can try to beat us for some holiday money. Talking high school football, the separation of 5A and 4A. Justin Emerson, great job from the Review Journal. We'll have that up on the podcast. Also, we'll be tweeting that out at reviewjournal.com. If you want to listen later, go to the phone lines now. People have their thoughts. They always do when it comes to Bishop Gorman and football. Jeff, you called the show. What's going on?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I went to Gorman in the late 90s, and we were absolutely terrible in football. I'm talking 3-4-win seasons. And at that time in Las Vegas, the powerhouse teams was Western, Cimarron Memorial, Clark. And those schools beat up on us every year. I think Gorman won one state championship in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think we won any in the 90s. And I just feel frustrated that people want to reclassify the division because Gorman's had this winning streak for the past 10 or so years. I just think it sets a precedent for these kids that if you can't beat them, then figure something else out. Like, how about getting better? How about trying to make your team better? To beat Gorman rather than running away and not playing them. So that's what I have to say about it. It's just a little frustrating because I think they forget how bad we were for a long time prior to this run. Thanks, guys.
Where are you still there? I wanted to ask them what North teams they played then.
Yeah, if you could remember.
I think you just mentioned the South teams, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was definitely a time when they weren't what they are now. There's no question about that. People talk about that back in the day. I wasn't here. I don't know if you were here. I wasn't here those times, but the scores are the scores. I mean, they were not always this good. I don't know. I mean, I think from here on out with those facilities, they're always going to be good. Now, there'll be years where they're national good in terms of going for a national title, and then kind of this year where they're not really nationally good with the top teams, but they're obviously by far the best in Nevada. I would have liked to know what he thought in terms of did the North play them. How many schools even existed in the North back then that they could have played? So that would have been good to ask him. But thanks for the call, Jeff. We certainly appreciate it. Larry, you've got some thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah, I've lived here 30 years, and it's just, frustrating. You guys never mention it's not a level playing field. You might as well hand Gorman the trophy, state trophy or city trophy every year, because if I'm a Del Sol High School, I can only use athletes to live within the school boundaries. If I go to Centennial or Palo, it's the same way. I can only use athletes within the school boundaries. Gorman can go to Del Sol, Palo Verde, Centennial, anywhere they want and recruit. And so that's why it's not a level playing field.
Not necessarily 100%. I know several kids who play at Centennial in different sports who don't live in that area, but because Centennial offers Japanese, they say, hey, I want to learn Japanese, I'm in that school. There are definitely ways for kids to move around these districts and get into different schools. Like, I know several of them that play at Centennial and Arbor and have no and are nowhere near those schools, but because those schools offer certain classes that their home school doesn't, they can just move when they want because they'll take that class. There are ways to get kids into other schools.
But that's unusual. I mean, I'm talking about the normal Del Sol high schools of the world. They'll never compete with Gorman because Gorman can go to every school and recruit within their boundaries. Do you think that's fair?
You know what? Here's the thing. I went to a school like that in California. Actually, they're one win away from winning. They are the Gorman of California, modern day, and they're one win away from winning the national championship. So I understand your point. I was at a school like that where they definitely recruited kids in to play specific sports. I think because it's football, this gets so much coverage. But they're not. The Gorman doesn't win state titles at every sport. They're horrible in some sports. I know the sports. I think because football shines such a bright light on everything, whether it be high school, college, pro, or whatever, this is why these take precedent. If football wasn't involved here, no one would care. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm not a pro or anti-Gorman. I don't really care. I don't know why so many people care about this, except for the people those specific schools. I don't know why this gets people so angry that the North want to stay in, don't want to play in five anymore. If you don't go to that school or are intimately involved, why do you care? Who cares? I mean, if they don't want to play Gorman, okay, then don't let them play Gorman. I mean, at the end of the day, and you know this, Larry, when someone wins a state title, it's great for those kids, it's great for those coaches, it's great for the people at that school, and no one else cares. Nobody else cares. It doesn't. I mean, you don't care.
I think they should be in a league with the modern days of the world. I'm from Southern Cal, and I understand.
Now, that's a good point because people have said, why don't you go play in the parochial school league of modern day Sarah, St. John Bosco? Here's the thing, though. One, and you're going to laugh at this because I'm going to throw out a word that when people hear this about Gorman, they laugh, cost. But also, if you're modern day and Jay Sarah and all these schools, one, you don't need Gorman because you already have that league and you already have the great teams that you play every week. And two, why would modern day ever agree to a league where they'll have to travel every other year to here just to play a game when they can go down the street and get the same competition? Like, I understand it from a Gorman point of view, but those California parochial schools, why in the hell would they want a Gorman in their league? What does Gorman do for them? They already are on TV. They're already playing for national championships. They don't need Bishop Gorman.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, though.
I'm just saying I don't think the Bonanza High Schools of the world ever have a chance. And if I'm a good athlete in Bonanza High School, I'm just picking a school.
Right.
At Bonanza High School.
Yeah.
And they come and Gorman comes to recruit me and offers me a scholarship. And then I go out there and see all the Fertitta's money. I mean, they got a brand new Olympic-sized swimming pool. My Bonanza High School can't compete with that. Of course I'm going to go there. But do you think that's a level playing field?
Well, specifically on facilities, it's not. We had Coach Morocco on earlier this week. He's the Liberty coach. He's one of the guys.